Echoes, short story by Triska Idekaman, translated by Ayunda Nurfitasari, published by intersastra.com/unrepressed, June 2019. Narrator, Sebastian Partogi. I never asked to be born into this world as a boy with two legs, one arm, and one tentacle that replaced my whole right arm. My left arm was made of bones and flesh, just like everybody else's. But from my right shoulder grew a limb of boneless, flexible flesh that swerved and twitched and covered in thick mucus. It had the same color as my skin, the same length as my left arm. Suckers lined the inside of the tentacle, scales covered the outside. Instead of fingers, the tentacle ended in a small thin bud. Mother told me she'd been scared to death the first time she saw me inside her belly. It was her first pregnancy too. She was 6 months pregnant when the midwives and doctors scanned her womb and wiped their eyes in disbelief. One of the doctors thought she was carrying a snake, but then he saw that the tentacle was a part of my body. The news made mother very dizzy. She begged father to let her have an abortion. She thought it was better than letting me live deformed and making things even harder for the family. Father said no, because he believed it was a sin. Father tried to figure out what caused my strange condition, bringing up some memories and nonsense. Father accused mother of being tainted by octopus's genes, perhaps through something she ate. Perhaps an octopus had poked into her belly button, or perhaps she had had intercourse with one. Mother only stayed silent. After all, there was no proof to support any of the accusations. 3 months afterwards, I was born, with my legs, arm, and tentacle. Father got angrier. Mother cried in silence. Day by day, father paced around the house, cursing and speculating where my tentacle came from, and I grew more confused about whether I was human or octopus. About 2 years later, my face showed dimples and a cleft chin, two facial features that neither mother nor father had. The neighbors in our village never stopped bugging father with questions. They came up with crazy theories too, that my real father was an octopus, that father was cursed because he butchered animals for a living. Having known what it had felt like to be harassed and accused all the time, father stopped blaming mother for my condition. All that didn't matter to me. For as long as I could remember, I was just a child who wanted to play peekaboo and po-ame-ame and clap my hands in joy. But I had only one arm. When I was 4 years old, mother tried teaching me to use my left hand. She made me hold crayons and pencils and draw a house with twin mountains in the background and the sun rising from between them. But my drawing was no good. My lines went all over the place. My brain was forcing me to use the right side of my body, but I didn't have a right arm or hand. I cried and cried and asked mother where my right arm was. After that, mother tried to teach me to control my tentacle. She said she could show me how I could use it like an arm. I wondered how, as she didn't have a tentacle herself. Mother set the number one rule. I had to keep my tentacle still. I had to keep it from wriggling at all times, so I wouldn't scare other people with such octopus-like behavior. I had to learn to hold objects with a tentacle. I had to be calm and focused. I nodded and took a deep breath. Mother asked me to sit down by a table and put an apple on the table. She told me to grasp the apple with my tentacle and tied my left arm behind my back with a rope. I cried in pain, but mother caressed my hair as she whispered words of encouragement. At first, I refused. Then, I slowly directed my tentacle to the apple, very slowly. The first few times, I failed to wrap my tentacle around the apple. I tried really hard, but I could only get it to stick to my suckers. Mother scolded me. No matter what, I could not use my suckers, she said, as it was an octopus child would do. Human child, especially mother's and father's child, should not do such a thing. She begged me, please be a human child, and don't be an octopus child. As I didn't know any better then, I nodded. Mother clearly didn't know how challenging it was to be me. Slowly, miraculously, I was able to control my tentacle. I kept it from wriggling. It rolled out and curled in when I told it to. On the fourth day, I finally grasped the apple. On the seventh day, I brought the apple to my mouth. Mother replaced the apple with a maracas. Then a doll, storybook, father's newspaper. Soon, I could grasp spoons and forks and eat by myself. I could change my own clothes, shower. The more things I could do, the more eager I became to train. 2 months later, my tentacle had become as dexterous as a real right hand. Quick, dominant, it was almost perfect. Turned out, however, being able to do things for myself wasn't enough for everyone else. The neighbors still looked at my tentacle with disgust, as did father. They got goosebumps whenever they saw my tentacle trying to pick up goods at a local kiosk. They said my sucker left mucus at everything I had touched in the kiosk. So, none of them wanted to touch anything that I had touched. When I was 6 years old, no school wanted to admit me. They said to shake hands and salute the flag, one had to use a right hand. Even schools for children with special needs rejected me. They looked at me as if I were a sort of monster from a science fiction book that didn't make any sense. Around this time, I passed by four thugs who, upon seeing my tentacle, told me they loved eating squid and chased me. They said they wanted to chop off my tentacle and eat it with soy sauce. I escaped them, but it gave father a horrible idea. He wanted to amputate my tentacle. Father stayed up all night planning it. He brought home his machete from the slaughterhouse. He said we should do it at dawn, in an empty field, so that no one would see. Father's theory was simple. Many sea creatures could regenerate their limbs after they had been chopped off. Father hoped that after my tentacle was amputated, a real right arm would grow in its place, a human arm with bones and fingers. Mother said no at first, but as the night wore on, he managed to get her to his side. How could I live with only one arm? Mother said I would be just fine. My life would stay the same, maybe even get better. I might even be accepted into schools. After all, you only have one arm now, right? Slowly I quieted my fears. At sunrise, I dragged my feet out of the house to the empty field. Facing father and his machete, I turned my head to mother. She nodded. I laid down and spread my tentacle in front of father and surrendered to his will. One swing of his machete and blood splattered all around me. My scream ripped through the morning. Quickly, mother wrapped my stump with a thick cloth and bound it tightly. My whole tentacle had been lopped off. It fell on the ground, writhing, wriggling, jerking. Father, being a dexterous butcher, snatched the tentacle and soaked it in salt and vinegar. Soon, it stopped moving and floated up dead. Father buried it in our backyard. That night, my armless shoulder itched terribly. As it was still bandaged, I rubbed it against the bed again and again. I writhed it in agony, and then the fever hit. I was burning, shivering, and blabbering. Mother didn't dare bring me to a clinic, as she was afraid father would be beaten up by the neighbors for abusing his own child. When I woke up the next morning, my bed was drenched in blood. Mother changed my bandages as quickly as she could, which had become all sticky and stinky. When father saw my unwrapped wound, he fell down. Out of my right shoulder grew a tiny boneless limb with hundreds of tiny sucking bowls, fresh and new, ready to grow into the tentacle I had had before. Defeated, father staggered away. By my bedside, mother sobbed and sobbed. I tried to be strong and calm her down, but deep inside I asked myself, what had I done wrong in my past life that I was born in this one part human and part octopus? From that moment on, I became even more devout. I prayed day and night, counting the beats of my tasbih with my left hand, as it was the only hand I had. I asked God to give me a normal right arm. I just wanted to be a normal human being. At this time, I could draw, paint, and even write neatly. I could cook, shower, and wash my own hair. I could button up my shirt and put on my own pants. I could take care of myself in the bathroom. But the world didn't care about that. All they cared about was that I performed all those tasks with a human arm. I kept on trying year after year to be a normal human being. As a teenager, I even carved the end of my tentacle with a knife so that I would have something resembling fingers. It didn't work. The tentacle just reattached itself back together. One of the neighbors gave me a suggestion. Why don't I try a prosthetic arm? But prosthetic arms weren't hollow. I couldn't use it to hide my tentacle. Another neighbor told me to wrap my tentacle around an iron stick that bent where the elbow and wrist on a human arm would be. But my tentacle wasn't long enough to spiral down to the end of the stick. Whenever I went out of the house, I always wore long sleeve shirts and put the end of my tentacle in my pocket. If I forgot to and someone saw it, they would bully me and chase me. That was why I always walked very fast. Fast enough to elude the bullies, but not too fast that I couldn't pay attention to things around me. One day I saw her as I was walking around. She seemed familiar, but I couldn't be sure whether I'd seen her. I followed her to Father's slaughterhouse. It turned out she was the cattle truck driver's daughter. She turned around, saw me, and walked towards me. From afar, she seemed to glow. Up close, she was even more beautiful. Her cheeks blushed pink. Her eyes were round and framed by dome-shaped eyebrows. Wishing to appear as normal as possible, I offered her my left hand. But she reached for my tentacle instead. I was stunned. I couldn't believe she wasn't disgusted by it. I told her my name, and she said her name was Andara, Dara for short. She ran her hand through my suckers and asked what they were. I answered sheepishly. I was ready for the worst, but somehow she didn't seem to mind my tentacle. Since then, she asked me to accompany her everywhere. We ate bakso together, watched wayang, we went to her sewing class. When I told her I could also sew, she seemed amazed. I showed her how I held the cloth and the needle and how I made sewing patterns. All that moment I know, I had fallen in love with her. It took months for me to figure out if she felt the same way about me. I considered every word she said. I paid attention to every little thing she did. Dara didn't care what the neighbors said. She even went after the people who made fun of my tentacle. When people asked her about my condition, she never used the word deformed. She said I was different. Special. I brought her home and introduced her to mother and father. I cooked several dishes for her and mother had also prepared a few. She complimented my fried rice and sauteed water spinach. She said my cooking tasted better than her own. I couldn't help but boast about all the things I could do with my tentacle, not only sewing and cooking. I could also draw and type on the computer. My drawing and typing skills had even made me some money, although it wasn't much. Dara blushed. Because she seemed to admire me, it made it much easier for me to trust her. And she seemed to trust me too, that I was the one she could rely on. I became more confident around her. For the first time in my life, I had found a person who didn't see me as a monster. She saw me as a human being with my tentacle and all. And when I needed comforting, Dara was always there for me. In less than a year, we exchanged vows in front of the penghulu. Besides mother and father, a couple of relatives from mother's side were in attendance. There was no lavish wedding. We didn't have much money anyway. Dara kissed my forehead. I removed my left hand from her thin waist to put a ring on her finger. Then Dara put a ring on my only ring finger. I gently stroked her face with the tip of my tentacle. She giggled, and we laughed. Mother and father did too. Ah, Dara, how lucky I was to have her as my wife. She was always patient and understanding. My typing skills and her amazing sewing skills enabled us to rent a small house just for the two of us. She was also a good listener and she gave wise advice. In many ways, she was the mother I always wished I had had. A year later, mother fell ill and passed away. Father followed 3 months later. At first, I thought I would feel freed. I would never have to face father's cruelty or mother's neglect anymore. Still, as we were shoveling red dirt over father's wrapped body, I felt his machete on my shoulder again and my vision blurred. I was crying. At home, Dara tried to calm me down. I put my head on her shoulder, my tentacle entwined with her arm. Several months afterward, Dara became pregnant. We were overjoyed. At the 6th month of her pregnancy, when we looked at the sonogram, we saw a pair of identical twin female fetuses facing each other, surrounded by floating tentacles coming out of their shoulders and pelvises. Yes, where there should have been a pair of arms and legs, there were tentacles. 8 tentacles in total were wriggling, writhing, and tangling with one another. I watched them closely. Their faces mirrored each other, so cute and normal, except that they had tentacles for limbs. I recalled my childhood and adolescence. Although living with parents who were often abusive, I had managed to survive. I listed all the things I had learned to do with my tentacle. Eating, showering, packing, changing clothes, sewing, cooking, typing, drawing. I had even realized that my suckers were actually useful for many things. Grasping objects, brushing my teeth, riding, shampooing, working, earning a living, building a life for myself. And I realized I was just like normal human being. I am a normal human being. And my children are also normal human beings. I looked at the doctor who was speechless and I looked at Dara who was smiling. I couldn't believe it, but it was true. She was smiling. She was still beaming as the nurse wiped the gel off her belly. As the days went by, Dara became more and more cheerful. She held me every night in bed and played with my suckers. I wrapped my tentacle around her belly. I put my head there and whispered a promise to love the twins as they were. They would never know what it felt like to have their arm chopped off. Dara whispered courage and strength at my ears and let my tentacle wriggle, writhe, and rolled in and out like an octopus's. Every day I felt calmer and more reassured. Being boneless and flexible had its advantages too. Early this morning, as she was being pushed into the delivery room, she took the moment to make sure that I was all right. I assured her by stroking her belly with my tentacle. Now, I still don't know how the world can accept 2 human beings, and girls at that, with such unusual physical condition, but at least I've learned how to survive this cruel world. I managed to find my way, and so will the twins. We will be just fine. I pray in silence. An hour later, I hear a baby crying and then another. As the nurse lets me in, I run to hold my babies. I notice some disgusted looks as I pull my tentacle out of my jacket and hold my twins, but I ignore them all. The 3 of us have become one. Some doctors pat me on the shoulder, asking to do research on me and my daughters. I tell them no. I don't care anymore about anything else, including who actually passed down this octopus gene to me and my descendants. Right now, I only care about one thing, teaching my daughters how to use their tentacles. We have been given these intelligent tentacles that can do so many things. We can make the world a better place. We can show everyone that we are valuable and worthy of love. I'm certain that we, generations of homoctopus, will survive. I know it.